have to do with that.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Have fun, kids! I'll just be here listening to my tunes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I love these guys. They make funny with their mouths.
I wanna be a duck living by the sea. Much as I like being me. They've got wings and they can fly. They can swim and so can I.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
And instead of growing up, I wanna be a duck. And I'll never give up until I'm a duck, until I'm a duck.
You are a horrible human being. I don't care what happens to you.
And now...
It's just like life. You get the funny with the tragic.
Our feature presentation.
That kid wants to be a duck really bad.
Yeah.
He sure does. It's a catchy little song.
Yeah, it's funny. You see that and then you go, oh, I'm going to hate this so much. And then you do hate it so much, but then it's stuck.
Yeah.
It sticks in your head and now you're going, oh, I want to be a duck.
Speaking of ducks, Chip, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, no Chip, sorry.
It's in the other room. That's my impression of Chip, by the way.
Real good.
Thanks.
Kevin, you watched some of that game last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Ducks are great. They're playing well.
Mm-hmm. But I think it was a very nice thing that you pointed out about the Winnipeg Jets as well.
Yeah, their fans, as they were losing in the third period, their fans were just going crazy, which is always fun to see that they just want to tell the team, hey, this is awesome this year. We had a great time. Right. We haven't been in playoffs in a long time. And at the end of the game, they all stayed. It looked like 100% of the fans stayed and chanted, let's go Jets, and we're just
That's
clapping
cool.
like crazy. And the team was, you know, the Ducks had gone off the ice. Now the team is on the ice. They're just waving their sticks at everybody. It was really,
aww.
And it went on for 4 or 5 minutes.
Because it's the last night in the building, the last hockey game for a long time. So it's cool that those people stuck around rather than go, well, this season's over and heading through the exits.
Yeah, yeah, it was really pretty cool.
It's
really
very classy.
Liked it. Yeah.
Very classy. And I feel bad. I don't know how. I haven't talked to Dave yet today, but he's going to be pretty depressed after his Clippers won last night.
Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, wait. That's right. They didn't.
No. That was amazing.
Oh, I didn't see what happened there.
Yeah, they lost it. But it was a brutal, tough game.
Yeah.
But David Hasselhoff was there to support the Clippers, so that counted, right? That's important.
Well, maybe that's where they went wrong. Maybe they need to keep the Hass out.
The Hass?
The Haas. The Hoff. Do we call him the Hass or the Hoff?
I don't think he's the Hass or the Haas. I think he's just the Haas.
Just the Haas. Okay. Let me make a note.
Hey, we got a big program for you today. But first, I have to get started with this story. There's a new TLC show. TLC, that's the network. What do they stand for, Kevin? I can't remember.
The Freak Show Network.
That's right. They've got a new show. It is called Extreme Beauty Disasters. And this is the only story I've read about so far from this story, but I assume it has to do with people who are trying to do plastic surgery, try to improve their looks, and it goes horribly wrong, and then they probably go to a doctor and get it fixed, I would imagine is how this works.
Love it.
This is a guy, he's 24 years old, he's from Hungary. He only goes by the name Sylvester in this story. But he decided his penis was too small. He was talking to his friend one day, and he said, I think I need to lose some weight to make my penis look bigger, which is a classic move, by the way.
Is this?
His friend said,
I wouldn't think like losing weight to make it look bigger.
He said, you don't need to lose weight. I can help you, he said. You should inject Vaseline into your penis.
I'm sorry, this was his doctor?
No, this was just a friend.
Just a friend.
So that is what he did. He injected Vaseline into his penis. He says, afterwards, I was happy and it looked bigger. But that gratification was only temporary as the penis began to change forms, becoming swollen and misshapen. On top of that, his foreskin swelled up to 15 times its regular size, cracking in several places,
oh.
And the pain was insurmountable.
Oh, that's bad.
By the way, just in general, do-it-yourself plastic surgery is a no bueno, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a coin toss, right?
Coin flip. So 50-50 on do-it-yourself plastic surgery.
Whatever the numbers are, yeah.
Every day is difficult for me, he said. It was very painful and bleeding. It was the worst mistake of my life. I had to stop having sex, of course. It was too painful. So he went to several doctors. None of them said they could help. And finally, he went to a plastic surgery doctor. And this doctor, named Vic Vidge, says, I've been doing plastic surgery now for 20 years. I've never seen anything like this. Injecting petroleum jelly into a penis makes no sense on any level. His penis was a disaster, he says.
Oh, you do not want to hear that.
Never. Penis. So the doctor explained.
You don't want to hear
to,
that? You don't want to hear? I've never seen anything like this. I've never right. seen it.
If well, you go to a doctor, all you want to hear is, oh, this happens all the time. We can take care of this, no problem. So the doctor explains to Sylvester, your body has formed scar tissue around the Vaseline because it's a foreign body. Your body is trying to ward it off. That's what gives you these painful lumps, and it will soon start to ulcer under the skin.
Okay.
Just take it off.
Agreed.
Seriously. Here's the worst part.
Big, thick.
No, that's not it. The worst part is this. The doctor had to literally, the article says, skin the thing, then surgically remove the Vaseline and scar tissue. I had never done that before, but fingers crossed, we were able to save his penis. And everything worked out in the end, you guys. After several hours on the operating table, all the Vaseline that had been injected into Sylvester's penis was removed. The organ restored back to normal. In a post-surgery interview some point down the road, Sylvester said, I am much better. It is healed well. It is pain-free. It is working. I can have sex, and I have learned my lesson that I will no longer try do-it-yourself penis experiments. So, no pun intended, but a happy ending for this young man, right?
I mean, sure.
He made a tragic mistake, but he was able to come back from it. It sounds like he's okay.
And he learned the most important point, which is penis experiments, don't try them unless you have a doctor that can actually do it.
Wiener did stand up and take the beating.
Right. That's right. Exactly right. So anyway, how's that for a happy spot of news to start your Thursday?
You said skinned his penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to skin it. Skin the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I like penis.
Okay.
Penis.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecher, shall we?
Hail Satan. I submit to the dark side.
Dr. Drew's on the show today.
Yeah. What if he's ever done any penis reconstructive surgery?
He's done everything, hasn't he? Isn't your experience with him as mine is, which is he has seen and done everything.
Yeah, that's true.
More than like 20 other doctors. Also on the program today, we have Oscar Isaac from Ex Machina. Machina? I don't know. I feel like I would say it is wrong.
Machina. That sounds right. Machina sounds right. Boy, he's a terrific actor. And he's in the new Star Wars, of course.
How about that? Gym Room Sports, we'll talk today. We got funny man Brad Williams, and we've got your tickets in the second row to see Mumford & Sons at the Forum. That's coming up. We'll take a break for the Showbiz Beat Night. For this moment. Could the Bee Gees sing that song? Yes, they could.
Yes, they could have easily.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
There's so many artists that I hear on the radio that you just want to have been there in the meeting when somebody said, you be the lead singer. Yeah. Like, how did that happen in so many cases?
Especially that
dude. I like the Silver Sun pickups.
Hey, how's it going?
I do too.
Hey, how's it going? You want me to be lead singer? Fine, that'd be cool.
Maybe that's it.
It's another Adam Sandler.
A little bit.
5:52, it's Thursday morning. Ralph Garman joins us with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Beat Show. What's up?
Listen. I want this in the record.
Okay.
Where's the stenographer? She didn't show up either?
We don't have a stenographer.
Dave, Christine, no stenographer? What's going on this morning? Why isn't the staff showing up for work?
I'll make a note. What is it that needs to be noted?
I am a fan of Sandra Bullock.
Same.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Sure. Yeah, she's terrific.
That being said, People Magazine has just announced the world's most beautiful woman on their cover. And that woman, Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
No, Allie McKay. I would venture that it's not okay. That's what I would venture.
I think it's wonderful. How old is she, 50?
She's a 50-year-old woman,
perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Which is why they named her this, right? I assume. What they're saying
there
is,
there has to be a reason, right?
Besides she's a the happening fact that to, together older
she's
woman.
She's the most beautiful woman. Listen, why don't they call it then People Magazine's most cool, put-together, cool woman cover?
Yes, I like it.
Or People's Magazine,
actresses we love.
Most neato, peachy Keno, 50-year-old we know cover.
I like it.
I'm just saying, if you're calling it the world's most beautiful woman cover, then come correct.
just to make sure we're all on the same page. We all think she's a very, very pretty lady. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Bean, perhaps you're not hearing me. Is Bean's microphone on?
Is his speakers
up there on the island?
I don't.
Let me repeat for you one more time. People Magazine has named her the world's most beautiful woman.
It seems like
she's a bitch.
A little bit of an overshoot.
Not what I'm saying at all.
That's not at all what we're saying.
I preface this by saying I'm a huge Sandra Bullock fan.
I thought the same thing when I saw that yesterday. Was I like her a lot? But the most beautiful woman in the world.
Then I read the rest of the list. Then I realized number one was the least of my worries, least of my problems.
I didn't see any of the rest of the list.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh no,
oh, Kevin.
What? Tell us.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Here's Sandra now. Model Gigi Hadid.
Okay, now she's attractive.
Number two. Yeah, she's beautiful. 19-year-old model, new face of Maybelline. Mm-hmm. Excellent choice, People Magazine. Number three, Taraji P. Henson.
Cookie
on Empire.
Yeah.
What? Attractive?
No, Bean, no. Are Bean's speakers on up there on the island?
I can't tell.
She apparently is the third most beautiful woman in the world.
Look, clearly this is like a pageant judge's interpretation of
Bean's
beauty.
Are Bean's speakers on up there on the island?
I don't know if you can hear me. What they're trying to say is that looks are one consideration, but obviously they're talking about how much heat this person has and a lot of other factors.
They didn't say hottest. They didn't say most heat.
No, I mean
most
popularity.
Most heat-filled woman in the world. Most popular.
Most talented women we love.
Most happening. Most it girl. Woman of the moment.
Yeah.
Red hot woman today.
They have a very broad
definition
of beauty is what they're going for.
I just don't like being lied to. That's all, People Magazine. That's all I'm saying. Fourth on the list, Meghan Trainor.
Well, this is just getting silly.
All about the bass singer.
This is just getting silly.
Meghan Trainor, she's all about the bass.
No treble. Nope.
None.
Huh. Okay.
Number five, actress Laverne Cox, Sophia, on Orange is the New Black.
Okay. What's this list?
This would be, Kevin, once again, the world's most beautiful woman.
Nope.
From People Magazine. Jenna Dewan Tatum, actress and dancer. And, of course, wife of Channing Tatum. Sixth on the list, Shay Mitchell, who plays Emily on Pretty Little Liars. Gabrielle Union.
This is just a grab bag.
It is just makes no sense whatsoever. Ariana Grande, ninth. She sure wears cat ears.
Yeah.
Why did they have world's most cat-eared woman? People Magazine cover.
This is like they took a list of all the celebrity females and just
put it in a blender.
Randomly started picking them out of a hat, one right after another, to make the list.
And Vanessa Hudgens is 10th on the
list. What's happening?
I don't know. People Magazine has gone mad.
Did People Magazine get hacked?
Maybe that's what happened. Somebody's playing Mad Libs with their most beautiful woman in the world list, and this is what came up.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
So there you
go. What do you suppose is going on?
I don't know. I don't see any rhyme or reason to any of it. And we all know this is the most important cover of
the
year.
That is very true.
This matters, People Magazine. Don't toy with it.
So, refresh my memory. They do a Sexiest Man Alive. That's People also. And then they do World's Most Beautiful Woman. Those are their two categories?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, at least Sandra Bullock's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Look, I like Sandra Bullock. And given some of the other names on the list, I'm quite happy that she won, actually, in retrospect.
She did survive that space accident, too.
She did. There was a lot of credit for that. Sandra, when told about the honor, said it was flat-out ridiculous.
All right. Another reason to like her.
That's why we like her.
She maintains that real beauty is quiet, like being a good person, a good mom, and letting someone in a hurry cut in front of you in line.
That is true beauty.
These are all truth. True.
It's not necessary.
I don't think People Magazine is dealing with true beauty.
Yeah, that's my thing.
That's my problem.
Most beautiful woman in the world
is beauty. I turn to People Magazine.
Yeah. Now.
I turn to People Magazine for superficiality. That's what I need from them. I need just the most superficial, bare bones reporting from People Magazine. I want shallow. I want shallow from people. Yeah. Not true beauty. Give me the surface hotness, please.
Agreed. That's a weird list.
All right. I feel better having got that out of my system. And Justin Bieber, by the way, had another run-in with the law real quickly. This time it was a good one.
Aw.
Bieb was at a place called Creation Juice in Beverly Hills. Familiar with Creation Juice?
I am not.
Oh, you got to have some of their juice sometimes. They
what
do.
Is it?
Oh, boy, they do. It's a juice place.
Yeah.
They do good work. Delicious. Okay. Cops were there, too. Local Beverly Hills police officer asked for a picture. And TMZ spotted the Bieb and the cop posing for a photo together. Which is sweet, considering the Beverly Hills police were called to his condo 6 times last year. So this was a good run-in for the Biebs and the cop. However, I would like that police officer's badge number. I'm going to report him. Because you don't get that close. You take the shot. You take the shot, officer!
He had a great opportunity.
His hands were full of juice. It was the perfect time. Extreme prejudice. You put him down. I'm King Kong! Sorry.
What's happening?
Went to training day there for a minute.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. That was crazy.
It was crazy town, yo.
See the cop that got in trouble for taking a selfie with Snoop? He got in trouble.
Yeah, well.
A couple of weeks back. Yeah, but
he was also puffing.
Not in the picture, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can tell. He was hot boxing with Snoop. Today's celebrity birthdays. It's the Gigi Hadid's birthday today. She's 20 years old. We were just talking about her.
She's the second most beautiful woman in the world.
She is, according to People magazine. Other celebrity birthdays, Michael Moore, the director. He is 61 years
old.
He's
beautiful as well.
He is the most beautiful man. Mm-hmm. George Lopez is 54. Wrestler John Cena, 38 years old today. Let's give some props to John Cena because he is the celebrity with the biggest tally when it comes to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Is that right?
Requests fulfilled. Yes. He's got the record. He's constantly meeting with kids who want to meet with him.
Good for him.
It's great. Cal Penn is also 38 years old today. John Oliver, very funny man over there on HBO. He is 38. Jamie King, the lovely and talented, is 36. And Dev Patel. We love Dev Patel.
We sure do.
Sure.
He's 25 years old. He's the most beautiful woman in the world, according to People magazine.
I don't think that's true.
It's true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, I heard a couple words on the radio yesterday that I haven't heard in a while, and those words are weenies and roast. May 16th. That's what I heard.
We're allowed to say that now? How did things change so radically?
I don't know. Yesterday, it was the biggest secret in the history of the world. Today, everything's out there.
Don't say anything. I'm serious.
May 16th.
All right.
Kara Queenie Roast. Details Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know you don't want to miss that. That'll be here pretty soon here, by the way. May 16th, not that far away.
Yeah.
Seems like the Weenie Roast is a little bit earlier this year than some years, but we did want to get it out there so you could save the date.
All right, let's talk about the dark web. I'm fascinated by this. This is probably, what do they say, 90% of the internet that you and I can't search?
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
Weird stuff goes on the dark web.
None of the search engines go to the dark web unless you know specifically how to get there. And they literally just sell drugs and weapons and everything that's illegal and get away with it for the most part.
And a lot of what's on the dark web is not there for illicit purposes. A lot of it is just intercompany things that aren't public. That's all. It's the way computers for companies communicate with one another that the public doesn't need to access. You know what I mean? A lot of businesses transacted that way too. But I would be fascinated if we have any of our listeners who are really dialed in on the dark web. I'd love to talk to somebody and find out, you know, ask a bunch of these questions because we don't know much about it. But it is in the news right now because it's a story out of Switzerland. An art installation there in Switzerland gave a robot $100 of Bitcoin every week to buy whatever it chose to buy on the dark web. And this is exactly the area of the web that you're talking about, Kevin, where you buy all the illegal stuff. So a package would show up, you know, every few days to this art gallery, and they had no idea what the robot had ordered. And they were all things that you can buy online, like the Hungarian passport, ecstasy pills, fake diesel jeans, a Nike trainers, a baseball cap with a hidden camera in it. I mean, just all sorts of crazy, like, dark matter stuff.
That's awesome.
That robot is amazing.
You got your robot out there buying stuff
that
for you.
That robot is out of its mind. Well, in January, Swiss police confiscated the robot and its illegal purchases because, obviously, you can't buy robot or human. You can't just buy ecstasy over the internet. So they confiscated everything. But eventually, they did give everything back except for the drugs, and they let the robot go. So the good news is the robot will not spend a day behind bars. They gave him a pass a little bit.
Good news. Because you'd hate to see a robot suffer like that.
It's good news for the robot who goes by the name Random Darknet Shopper. And that robot, believe it or not, kids, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Sweet. Hi, Random Darknet Shopper.
Yo. Call me by my street name.
Your street name.
Rando
is easier, yes.
Okay. So Rando, you're the robot in the story we were just discussing in Switzerland who's been buying all the cool stuff on the dark web.
Yeah, you know, I am plugged in to the dark net.
Right.
So what about this experiment? $100 of Bitcoin. Seems like you were able to buy a lot of stuff.
Yo. Do you want a baseball cap with a camera in it? I got one for you, bro.
I feel like I do want that. I'm not sure why.
Really?
Yeah, I really sort of feel like I do.
I'm a little shocked and stunned. Never met anyone who wanted one of these before.
I love that the robot's questioning you. Really?
So cool that I'm finally able to move this.
Oh, great. So are you buying and selling Darko? Is that what's happening?
It's random.
Darko? What are you talking about?
I was thinking of something completely different.
It's Rando. So dark.
Would you like to buy a sheet with some holes cut in it for your eyes?
That's not what I was thinking at all. I think I was thinking of Danny
Darko.
I've
got a wooden cross that you can burn if you'd like to buy that.
No, that's not what I'm suggesting at all.
No, not at all, Darko.
No. Not at all.
Call me Darky.
I'm not saying that either.
You said something.
It was an unfortunate slip of the tongue. Hey, you're
no idea.
You are a pretty good robot, by the way, in terms of how you're able to
You too.
How do you judge that?
I'm just saying, in terms of being able to talk back and forth with a human, he is exceptional intelligence. That's
you
all.
Too. I was thinking the same thing.
So you've got Kevin over here who wants to find the baseball cap with a camera and me slinging racial slurs. That's what you're dealing with here today.
You're coming at me like a white supremacist.
Allie, you want to jump in and save us here?
I am just wondering what else you have that maybe you purchased.
Stuff.
Oh, come on.
Come on,
no details?
Rando.
Come on. We weren't done with this, right?
Our friend Brad Williams joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, he was teasing yesterday that he had a major show business announcement today.
Major show business announcement?
You know anything about that? What's going on?
I don't know.
All right. We'll find out from Brad coming up. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. That's our voicemail that you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 323-520-AFRO. You leave us a message on any topic. Who's calling today and why?
This dude called on Tuesday.
420. Stoner things are going to happen.
I don't feel like he put much into that.
Yeah.
This guy called.
I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York.
I don't ever need to hear the Armenian comedian sing, but is he really going to New York? And if so, why?
I don't have any idea.
Right.
I thought he was just singing. I don't know. Stryker called and left a message.
Kevin and Bean, you left your dumb bell in the studio. Hot girls!
Oh, that's
this
abuse.
Is Stryker. I work here. 1-800-520-1067. Mother!
Why would he give us the phone number here?
I don't know. We work here, too.
Very helpful.
That's the backup bell.
I don't like him handling the bell, though, without going through training.
Make sure that doesn't get left out anymore, Chip.
Yeah, no kid. Let's keep our stuff to ourselves.
And this guy called.
Anywhere, it's up to you. New York.
We don't have to put every Afro call on the air, though, right?
Hey, Kevin. Kev Dog. Kevin.
Go Ducks. You.
How are you going to...
Is that Chip?
Wait.
Was that Chip?
Yep.
Chip. Go Ducks. F you.
That's, wow.
Is that how you want to play it?
Exactly how.
And then this guy called.
New York. New York.
All right, that was awful, but at least it sounded like it was the end of the song, so he's got to be done calling.
And then George Takei called.
I'd like to thank you for remembering my birthday today. Although whoever was reading the showbiz beat called me George Takei.
I think I did.
It's pronounced George Takei. On another note, I'd just like to say that the new girl, Ally McKay, is doing a great job. Oh, my.
I did. First show was beat. Yeah. I did. I remember that.
That
I'm
happened.
An idiot. Yeah.
Bill Shatner. More like Bill Fatner.
I don't think I had a call all day, every day.
That was actually pretty awesome.
This is somebody calling specifically for you, Bean.
Hey, Bean, while you and the monkey were off celebrating some sort of Hall of Fame hijinks, you know what you missed? Oh,
no.
I don't know. Little something at Staples Center called Barry Manilow. Oh, that was a concert. To end all concerts, sir. He would have loved to do it at the end. He did this medley of like 74 songs, all of his strung together. Boom! I write the songs that make the whole. I'm singing to the world.
All right, we know the songs.
Hope we let the spirit come in.
All
and
right.
Then he. But, boom! Even now,
okay.
When I have come so far.
All right, we know the songs.
Boom! Right at the Copa.
All right.
Copa f-ing Cabana. This is an awesome show. You should have been there, dick.
That was a burn.
Wow. That guy called you a dick for not going to a Barry Manilow show.
He did. Like I don't already have tickets to see him.
Well, sorry. That can
like
wait.
I don't already have tickets to see him here May 27th, by the way. But
sure.
Go ahead, sir.
What is happening?
Hey.
Is that Sam gets high? Oh.
Oh.
All right. He gets high, and then he calls the Afro line, and then probably forgets that he calls,
mm-hmm.
And calls back.
But Omar can delete those calls before they get to us.
Okay, that's enough of that. All right, I'll fast forward that one to the next call. That's hard to listen to. I'll fast forward.
Can we get Darko back on the line?
I'll fast forward to the next call. Oh, wait. I don't know what's happening. I'll fast forward that.
Hey, guys, how about those Clippers? I think it's time to play the King of Mexico's Clippers song. I'm in love with the Clip Show. Go Clippers!
Was that Dave calling after they won the first game?
May have been. Before last night. May have been before they lost. But, I mean, we should play the song, right?
No.
It's gonna hurt.
I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. The balling down at Staples. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip
I feel like there's a lot of people singing in the Afro line that can't sing.
Dave included.
323-520-8FRO, 24 hours a day. Of Monsters and Men, Crystals is the name of that, on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
No creepy, creaky ship effects on that one, it sounds like?
No, that was...
Yeah, they're losing their touch. They're losing their touch.
Guess so. Like that song. Hey, Brad Williams joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and actor Oscar Isaac is going to be here as well. First, though, Ruff's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
This makes me happy. A few angry doctors over Columbia University are calling for Dr. Oz to resign.
Sweet.
I did not know this, but he is not only a cardiothoracic surgeon, but he's the vice chair of surgery department at Columbia University.
No kidding.
And there's some real doctors at Columbia University who are upset that he is still being associated with their school.
Now, what's the story with him? Is he a doctor?
He's a doctor.
He's not
but
a
he's
doctor.
Now he's more a TV physician than anything else.
Okay.
But his...
But has he done something wrong? Is there something complain against him?
Do you ever watch that show?
No.
He promotes all these quack treatments and stuff.
Yeah, there's been a lot of scandal around him promoting
a lot of BS
nonsense,
medicine.
Yeah.
And there's doctors at Columbia University, a prestigious school, that said, all right, enough's enough. They sent a letter to the university last week demanding that Oz be removed from his faculty position.
He was one of Oprah's minions, right?
Yes.
Is that where we came to know him?
Yes. And that's how he got his own show. And now he's so busy being a TV doctor that he has lost sight, in the opinion of his colleagues, of, you know, medicine and
right.
science and things.
I wonder what Dr. Drew had to say on either his KABC radio show, his HLN show, or Loveline.
But Dr. Drew, at least, I think, maintains his
he does still
medical credibility
yeah.
by
yeah,
fighting the good fight for real medicine and science.
He certainly does.
Meanwhile, Dr. Oz is selling all kinds of weird, like, diet aids and stuff and everything that's just BS. However, Dr. Oz has said, will not be silenced. We will not give in.
Who's we?
He said about the Jews in 1939, I guess.
What's he talking about?
I don't know.
We will not be silenced. We will not give in.
The most fundamental right we have as Americans is the freedom of speech. Right. My 10 counterparts are trying to silence that right. No, they're just calling you a quack.
You don't have the freedom of speech on TV either, but okay.
A spokesperson for the show says that today's episode will devote 2/3 of its time to rebutting the allegations that he supports quack treatments. So it is on. It's on to Dr. Oz and Dr.
The other ones.
Other ones.
The other doctor.
Dr. Feelgood, I think, is in there. Dr.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on.
Nope.
Race wars.
Dr. Pepper, I think.
Race wars on, everybody.
There's no race.
It's going down.
No,
it's
what about
going
Dr. Darko?
Come on. No. Race war.
No, you're confusing. Confusing Dr. Oz versus the other doctors with Bean versus the Robot, which is a great new series coming on the CW, and I think we're all going to enjoy it.
But we still have a lot more room for Dr. Oz than we do for Dr. Phil, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I see him the same.
I love Robert Downey Jr., and I will not put up with people who treat him like this.
Like what?
I don't know if you saw the video or not, but there's a British interviewer named Krishnan Gurumurthy, works for Channel 4 there in the U.K., who was interviewing Robert Downey Jr. for, as you can imagine, Age of Ultron, the new Avengers film. He dipped into a weird place, started going back to a 2008 New York Times interview regarding Downey's time in jail for drugs, and started harking on his politics and asking, was he a liberal or a conservative?
What?
And you can see in Robert Downey Jr.'s eyes, he's like, what the F is this guy? What is his agenda? What is happening here?
Doesn't sound like this guy has any idea what his agenda is.
Oh, this guy has every idea what his agenda is.
All right.
He's going to play gotcha journalism, and he's going to be the guy who gets the big scoop by making Robert Downey Jr. say that he is a conservative or he doesn't believe in liberalism, or there's definitely a political bent to this line of questioning.
All right.
And Downey's like, we're here to talk about me in a suit fighting crime, basically. Here's a little taste.
The statement sort of stands by itself, doesn't it? I mean, does that mean you're not a liberal, or that you came out of prison not being a liberal?
Are we promoting a movie?
He's just stunned.
It's a good question.
It's great video, too. Him looking over at his publicist. It's good.
Yeah, the video is better than the audio in this particular case. And towards the end of it, the same guy starts asking Downey whether he thinks he's actually free of drugs and alcohol.
You've talked in other interviews again about your relationship with your father and the role of all of that in, you know, the dark periods you entered and taking drugs and drinking and all of that. And I just wondered whether, you know, you think you're free of all of that or whether that's still something.
I'm sorry. I really don't. What are we doing?
Well, I'm just asking questions. That's all.
Right.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
You should just say bye.
Bye.
Are you, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Takes off the mic.
It's okay.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you?
You seem okay. It's just getting a little dinosaur in your.
No, no. Look, I don't want to do that.
Thank you.
You seem okay. It's getting a little Diane Sawyer-y in here, though. He's the best.
Like I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't. I wasn't.
Oh. I'm sorry, I was just trying to get you upset and get a reaction out of you, and now that I have, I'm regretting it because my interview's over. Wait, come back, Robert Downey Jr. This guy did the same thing Quentin Tarantino a couple years back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. And Tarantino said, I'm shutting your butt down during the course of the interview, which is also worth finding online.
But, Ralph, I got to say, I have no problem with what Robert Downey Jr. did, but if the journalist's goal was to make his interview stand out and get attention for himself, he still managed to do it.
Yeah, but he looks like an asshole.
He does. He does.
If that's your goal, then
yeah. That's not that hard to do, I guess.
He achieved that. But to go back to another person's interview from 2008 and pull a quote out of context from that and then try to get him to respond to that in the course of your interview.
It's not like all of this happened.
Shabby journalism. It's not like he's not even coming up with his own question. He's got to go back to David Carr's interview from the New York Times in 2008 to come up with a story. It was disgusting. Yeah. And I think Robert Downey Jr. did absolutely the right job.
And
he should have hit
his body language, too.
Yeah.
Just creepy.
Yeah.
He's like, it's okay. I mean, what's going on with your noises?
I don't know.
Words are hard.
That really freaked me out. I'm not going to lie.
She's got to use just sounds sometimes because words are hard. This guy should have been a real entertainment journalist, like myself.
I'm sorry?
He should have been a real entertainment journalist. He should behave according to our code of ethics like my brethren and I do in the world of entertainment journalism.
What are you talking about?
I am a high-powered entertainment journalist.
Since when?
Since, what time did we start this segment?
About 6:52.
Yeah.
6:53.
Okay.
And I'm breaking the story that Mila Kunis is a chicken thief. Mila Kunis, chicken thief.
Okay, first of all, she's perfect. So anything
well,
she does
I beg
is fine.
To differ because she stole a chicken. And I think she has been we've been letting her get away with this kind of behavior for too long.
I think it's the chicken's fault.
She stole a chicken from a little girl in the Ukraine.
The little girl was just trying to eat?
Christina Caro. No, it was a pet. It was a pet, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Christina Caro claims that she and Mila Kunis were childhood friends back in the Ukraine, and that Mila Kunis would come to her family's chicken farm to play with her beloved pet chicken, Doggy. And then one day, Doggy went missing, and Mila Kunis coldly confessed that she had taken the chicken named Doggy for her own.
As a pet or for food?
As a pet.
Okay.
And now that Christina Caro is here in the States, she has moved to L.A. seeking fame and fortune, she is suing Mila Kunis for the chicken thievery
Wait.
To the tune of $5,000.
And when was this?
This was... Well,
20-some-odd
years ago.
Hmm. Okay.
I feel like there are a lot of problems with her legal approach here.
How dare you, sir? Speaking as an entertainment journalist...
You're
I
not
can
an entertainment journalist.
...that this is the kind of cutting-edge reporting that needs to be done in this country, and we're letting our celebrities get away with too much, like stealing chickens and owning slaves, like Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck owns
he
slaves.
He did.
And now Mila Kunis is a chicken thief, and we must hold these people accountable for their actions, sir.
I feel like, it was over 20 years ago, so there must be
so
some sort of statute of limitations.
Chicken limitations is up?
Yes.
And B, I know she wants $5,000, but isn't a chicken worth about $5?
What about the emotional stress, the emotional toll of losing her childhood pet chicken named Doggy, Bean?
I can't speak to that. I'm sorry.
I bet you can't. Well, I can. And Christina Caro, Godspeed. We're all with you. And we hope you bring Mila Kunis and her chicken thievery down.
We're not with her at all.
We are. And this has nothing to do. This lawsuit, by the way, has nothing to do with that fact that Christina Caro is trying to start her own music business.
Oh.
With her own music career off the ground.
Oh.
And she has several YouTube videos that are featured that you can find her singing. With her character, her comedy character, which she does like a female Borat character, who is also a Ukrainian immigrant.
Okay.
and has nothing to do with her promoting her music and songs like this. Give me green card. Yeah. Or this other song, I Love America.
I love America. Do you? I love America. Do you? I love America. And I'm going to give you a green card to dance.
She's going to give you a green card to dance.
That might be the best song ever.
So there's a real artist, Christina Caro, versus a chicken thief like Mila Kunis. And I will not stand for that sort of behavior.
Chicken.
Exactly. So there you go. That's
quite
how
a story.
It's done. That's how it's done.
But you didn't interview anyone.
Krishna Guru Murthy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Model Gigi Hadid is 20 years old today. Dev.
What?
I'm sorry. Had a mini stroke. Dev Patel is 25 years old today. Jamie King, she's 36. John Oliver's 38. Cal Penn, also 38. John Cena's 38. It's a very popular day to be 38.
Sure is.
George Lopez turns 54. And director Michael Moore is 61 years old today. Hey, Michael Moore, a little less pulling back the curtain on government corruption with your documentaries. A little bit more about chicken thievery, huh? How about that? How about a real social ill? People's chickens are being stolen.
25 years ago.
Nobody seems to care, except this reporter.
You're not a reporter.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend, comedian Brad Williams, joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brad.
That's right. And the midgets are taking over between Chip, Allie, and me. Woo-hoo! We are all in here taking over for you reacher people.
Allie is 5 feet. Chip is 5 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brad's not far behind at 4 foot.
No, I'm the OG at 4 foot 4.
Beware of the midgets. They're
right.
Taking over the world.
When I look at the studio camera that I see, it's like there's a bunch of mice running around. That's what it looks like from my vantage point. Kevin's the only person in the room right now.
Yeah. That's the thing. We don't run. We scurry.
That's right. We got a lot of business we got to take care of.
Yeah.
First of all, since I haven't seen you since that night, thank you once again for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. You were astonishing, as always. I think Brad got the only standing ovation of the whole night, if I recall correctly.
Thanks, guys.
Pretty strong.
But thank you to the fans.
Great show.
Thank you for having me out, and thank you for allowing me to meet Jack Black, because that was awesome.
Yeah.
And like they say, never meet your heroes because they'll always disappoint you.
Yeah, that's your fear, is they're never going to be that cool in person.
That person never met Jack Black.
Yeah, true.
That dude is like he's a caricature of Jack Black.
Yeah.
Like my dressing room was right next to Tenacious D, and Adam Ray is just hanging out in my dressing room. We're talking, drinking, and then we just hear Jack over in his dressing room just like playing guitar and like strumming away. We're like, holy crap, Jack's here. Let's go say hi. And we just run in there.
Did you feel like little kids?
Yeah.
Does security see us?
Is
there any security? What's going on?
And then we're like, oh wait, we have passes. We're good. and then we just burst in there, and he's the only one in the dressing room, and we like, hey, and we say, we're on the show, and he goes, oh, you guys are on the show? Get over here. Bring it in. We're going to have some fun. Hands in right now. And we all, and like, this is our first conversation we've ever had with him.
Is that your impression of Jack Black?
This is my impression of Jack Black right here. Coming to yeah! Yeah. So we just all put our hands in, and Jack looks around and is like, all right, what are we saying to fire up this show right now? And Adam Ray just goes, Hakuna Matata?
Okay.
And Jack's like, well, not as strong as I thought it was, but okay. We'll try it out, but tell you what, we're going to whisper it. We're going to whisper Hakuna Matata, and the force of the Lion King will flow through us. And then we go 1, 3, Hakuna Matata. And there's a pause. Jack looks around and goes, vastly underrated, Hakuna Matata. Vastly underrated.
They have to give it up to you.
Yeah. And it was that moment where we're like, oh, we just had Hakuna Matata with Jack Black. Pretty pretty sweet.
There are very few people that can pick you up and hold you over his head?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we should start every April Foolishness, is some comedian should just grab me and hold me up and just, Zavenia! That would be awesome.
I think I'm in.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. So Kyle shows up at some point, and you get to meet him as well, and he's awesome too, by the way.
Yeah. Kyle was great. Kyle was fantastic, and like they it's like they're on all the time.
Yeah.
They don't have,
well, they're
like,
just naturally hilarious.
Yeah, right. And they were so much fun. And they started off with tribute. Their first song was tribute.
Yeah.
Who leads with their biggest hit and then keeps rocking the entire time? It was so awesome. So thank you guys again for having me.
Sitting with Brad during the Tenacious D portion of the show.
And was Brad on your lap? Or
no, we were sitting in chairs next to each other. But he knows the words. Kevin, I'm not kidding. We always joke about how we don't know the words to any song.
To any song.
Brad knows the words to every single Tenacious D song. It was crazy to watch him lip syncing the entire show.
Yes, I would love to put it out there right now. Brad loves the D.
Okay. All right.
I've heard that, by the way.
Solid. And what does D stand for in this case?
Of the Tenacious Kind.
Oh, Tenacious Kind.
Yeah,
okay.
Of the Tenacious Kind.
All right.
Yeah.
I love that photo from backstage of you lying across the boys' laps, too, by the way.
Well, I
You do love the D.
Well, I mean, we were in the dress room, and we wanted to take a photo, and Jack's like, well, I forgot my chihuahua at home. Brad, hop on. And I was like, okay. So, fine. Done.
I wanted to ask you one more foolishness question. Then we have a bunch of other new business we need to attend to, Brad. And that is, you made a jab at your friend Ralphie May.
Yeah, I did.
And then Ralphie came on after you, and he did 20 minutes of little people jokes.
He did.
And I was like, how does Ralphie have more midget jokes than Brad Williams does? It was amazing.
I was truly humbled by that scenario because I talked to Ralphie afterward, and I was like, was that your plan? Because as soon as you found out you were going after me, did you just, like, compile all your dwarf jokes? And he's like, bro, I had no idea. Oh, wow, my Ralphie sounds like Jack Black.
It does.
So, yeah, he's like, I had no idea what I was going to do, and then you said what you said, so I'm not just going to take it. So he walked up and then did an entire set slamming little people.
When he walked off stage, I heard Bean say to him, I didn't know you had 20 minutes on midgets. And he goes, bro, I got 20 minutes on anything.
Yep. I've been doing this for 25 years. I get 20 minutes on any topic.
Yeah. He absolutely did, and he killed it, but that's just how good Ralphie May is, and I love the fact.
He was so great. I mean, I think this really – I mean, every year has been fun. I think this was the best April Foolishness yet.
That's what
– Everybody was great.
I was hanging out with Jay Moore doing his podcast 2 days ago, and that's what he said to me as well. He's like, that was the best lineup ever, like, to start to finish. Everyone killed. There wasn't one comic where it was like, well, we can go get a drink now. We can go.
And we had our contest winner who came out, and he was good.
He killed it.
Yeah, he was great.
He was fantastic.
I'd never seen Fluffy live before. Of course, I've seen his DVD, but I'd never seen him live before, and he was killing it. I mean, I couldn't believe how much people love that dude.
I mean, how do you not love a guy who's literally Fluffy?
Like, yeah.
And he's backstage hugging everyone, and it's here's another backstage story. He brought his son with him, and the last time I saw Gabriel's kid was at a Christmas party about 10 years ago.
Okay,
and his kid was like maybe 6 years old, and me and his kid wrestled at this Christmas party, and I totally took him down.
Sure,
I owned this 6 year old.
Because he's not here to refute that.
I owned the 6 year old. So. I we're walking around backstage and I run into his kid, and his, like, the first thing his kid says to me is, we're having a rematch right now.
Yeah.
But his kid is now like 5'10". And I'm like, no, we're not having a rematch.
No. I don't remember ever wrestling you. What are you talking about?
That was Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage wrestled you. Go find him.
Blame it on the other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Brad Williams is here. We have to take a quick break. Brad is going to have some major show business news for us when we return. But I do want to mention, for folks who can't stick around, Brad is going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena this weekend with your friend Adam Ray opening up, by the way. And Becky Robinson, she's new to me. Who's Becky?
Becky Robinson is a fantastic comedian. I just met her about 2 months ago, and she opened up for me at the Bray Improv and just killed it. Killed it.
Fantastic.
And I love introducing these new comics to people because, you get to discover new comics, and she's fantastic. And
I picture you sitting on a throne, and then comedians that are lesser known come up and go, please, can I have just a...
I'm a dwarf. It's more like an ottoman.
Okay.
Have you guys seen those the popular series of YouTube videos of the tiny hamster, like, eating a Thanksgiving meal and stuff like that?
Yep.
Brad Williams plays that hamster. A lot of people don't know. Brad Williams in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is on Twitter at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com, co-host along with Adam Ray of the About Last Night podcast. And he is going to be in town this weekend at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena with 4 big shows, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Tickets are only $20 to see the great Brad Williams at IceHouseComedy.com.
All right, Brad, you promised us a big announcement.
I did.
Ooh, ready, man. You were teasing this online yesterday, and I thought, what does Brad have going on?
I was.
What don't we know about Brad Williams?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news here on The Kevin Bean Show. My 1 hour comedy special.
Hold on. Hold on.
But you can't hear me.
Yes, it's too loud.
What's happening?
What's this news?
All right. That is amazing news. We'll be right back.
Isn't it? Hall of Fame!
No, I did that on purpose. Yes, Brad. Take two.
My 1 hour comedy special is going to be debuting on Showtime May 8th. May 8th. My 1 hour comedy special coming
that?
Out. Woo! That's right. So, yeah.
So, a 1 hour comedy special is about as good as it gets for a comedian.
Yeah.
Have you done one before?
I've never done a half hour special before. That's wow. Usually where they start you off at. And then, like, eventually you get called up to do an hour special. But no, Showtime was awesome. We filmed it up in Santa Barbara at the Santa Barbara Comedy Festival. And, yeah, Showtime is being wonderful to me, and they took a chance. And they're really excited about the special, and I cannot thank them enough. This is wow. Really cool.
Tell me about doing that that festival. Is that
– It's a great festival.
Way
it's,
different than well, a club?
Yes. I mean, because it was in a theater, and thank you for anyone listening who came out, because we sold that mofo out.
Nice. And, I remember you came on that week and said you're looking for Kevin and Bean fans to come and fill the crowd.
Oh, they did. And, I mean, like, who doesn't want to go to Santa Barbara and sit on a beach and then go see great comics at night? At that festival that weekend was Russell Peters, Jay Moore, Jim Jeffries, myself. It was a huge festival, and it's great because people in L.A. can take a little vacation, go up to Santa Barbara, and see some great comedy. And, there were, I think, three specials filmed that
wow.
That night. And, they're going to start running previews for it on Friday after the Andrew Dice Clay special.
Have you seen it?
I edited it.
What?
So I've seen
they
it.
They let you edit it too?
Yeah.
What's
and,
happening?
I mean, the only thing that I did that was a major change was I just made my penis really big. So like,
sure.
Yeah. So like, I'm dragging this thing behind me. They're like, is that the mic stand? No, Brad Williams' penis. That's right. Photoshop.
What kind of leeway did they give you for it?
It's Showtime. This is
you can say anything.
Yeah, this is the network that puts on Masters of Sex, so you can say or do anything. They didn't edit it. Awesome. There was no content questions at all, and we only had one shot to do it. Lots of times when you film a special, you do two shows, so
right.
You can kind of get it right and edit it and all that. We had one shot. And the crowd was insane. We got it right. And, May 8th on Showtime is my first hour special.
Is it difficult to edit your own stuff?
Yes, because...
You're second-guessing and...
Totally.
Maybe leave this in, maybe take that out.
And I've heard the material 1,000 times, so I'm not quite sure what's funny and what's new and what's, like, what the audience wants to see and what they're expecting. But Scott Montoya, it was the guy that produced it, and he was fantastic. And he really has an eye for this stuff. So he was great, and we have a really cool product now. And I'm wearing a vest. Come on. It's a dwarf in a vest.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Hang on. Because you said that like it was a positive.
Yes!
Like you sold it as if that's going to make me want to watch you do comedy.
Oh, obviously.
Who forced you to wear a vest?
Listen, I hired a stylist. And she's.
What?
I hired a stylist, and we scoured all the Baby Gaps for all the latest fashions, and we found a sexy vest number. So basically, I look like a mini Nerdist. Like I'm just like. Just like a mini Chris Hardwick.
I will tell you what I saw you because you were wearing it. Was it the same suit you were wearing at Foolish Disc?
Yeah,
I saw you in that outfit, and I thought, oh wow, so, he's a looks like a ring bearer. Is what it looked like to me.
Basically, if anyone was getting married like out in the parking lot and they didn't have anyone to top their wedding cake, sign me
yes,
up.
Yes, you're exactly. You're in.
I'm done.
So, Brad, how exciting is it for you? Even though you've been a comedian for a long time and
12
you've
years.
Toured every side of this country, up yeah. and down, you know, back and forth, there are still people who have never.
never had the chance to see you live, and now you're going to be in. Anyone who wants to see you can see you do this comedy special. That's exciting, man.
Yeah, and it's already up on the Showtime website, and you can see they are going to run the crap out of this thing.
Wait, Showtime's going to repeat it?
A lot. A whole lot. And it's just, like, there's certain milestones that you want to hit as a comedian. You want to do a Tonight Show. You want to do a TV set, and then you want to do that hour special.
You want to skip right special. Over the half hour. That, yeah. That's also a mark that you want to hit, but you're like, nope. Got no time for that.
Hour special. And now.
Congratulations, Brad.
Thank you very much. And thank you guys, because I really want to be sincere when I say this. The producers at Showtime know me from K-Rock. They listened to the show and they loved me. So this show was a huge part of meeting that special. So
that's very cool.
Do we get thank you guys.
Very pay for? Do we get money?
Well, let's get the cast of Ray Donovan on if they're listening.
Yes,
that work? Come on,
absolutely.
Brad Williams' comedy special is called Fun Size, and it airs on Showtime Friday, May 8th at 10 p.m. You can see Brad live on stage at the Ice House Comedy Club all weekend long. We got to take a quick break, by the way, yep. Brad. When we come back,
yeah.
You posted a video yesterday that kind of blew my mind a little bit. It was you with New Kids on the Block in person. Together on the same stage.
Did you join the band?
That announcement is coming later.
All right. Our friend Brad Williams in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, making one of his final appearances on the show, I would imagine.
What?
Because, well, once the Showtime comedy special airs on May 8th, you're going to be way too big for this show. You'll be Seacrest only at that point.
And you know, he's joining a band. So
the special is called Fun Size. It airs Friday night, May 8th. You can see Brad on stage at the Ice House Comedy Club this weekend in Pasadena. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Go to icehousecomedy.club. Tell us about this band you're joining.
Well, it's a band that was kind of popular in the late 80s or early 90s, a little band called New Kids on the Freaking Block.
Yeah!
How about that?
And your Instagram had... You were there with them?
Yes.
What? How? Why? What? When?
I'm hanging out in my apartment yesterday, and I get a text message from my heterosexual life mate and podcast partner, Adam Ray. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, what are you doing right now? I say, nothing. He says, do you want to go watch the New Kids on the Block rehearse? I say, hell effing yeah.
What kind of question is that? It's just a weird question.
Well, Joey McIntyre has been a guest on our podcast twice.
Okay.
And he shot the movie The Heat with Adam Ray. So they're buddies. And they say, yeah, come on down, watch the rehearsal. So we go down to this little studio, and we thought there was going to be like a team of people. No, it was the New Kids, their choreographer, and me and Adam. And
so it's Donnie and Danny and Jordan and John and Joey.
All of them.
You had no idea who they were.
Allie just named them all off.
She did. I love them so much.
She was not reading off a paper.
No, she wasn't. So lucky.
She had that chambered. Oh. And, so I got to watch the New Kids on the Block rehearse the day before when doing the podcast with Jay Moore. His wife, Nikki Cox, kissed me. So I had Nikki Cox kiss me. I've watched New Kids on the Block rehearse. All I need now is for to get a hockey lesson from Emilio Estevez, Gordon Bombay himself, and all my 90s dreams will have come true. This is perfect. Oh. Flying V! Let's do it! Ducks fly together, everybody. Ducks fly together.
Oh, shut up. So you, by the way, that's one of the reasons why Kevin grew up hating the Ducks is because of the Mighty Ducks, so you know.
How could you hate the Triple Deke, Kevin?
No, when...
Charlie Conway did the Triple Deke, and he beat the Iceland team. I mean, that was awesome.
I've been told that I like everything about them and the company that used to own them.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yes, I've been told that.
So, Brad, absolutely. You're at the New Kids on the Block. And
yes.
How, at one point, did you go from being in the audience, watching them rehearse, to actually doing choreography with you and Adam up on stage with them?
Well, because what happened was when you show up, Joey McIntyre actually opens this little slit in the door, mm-hmm. like just his eyes pop out, like one of those old speakeasies.
Right.
And he says, what's the password? And then you have to do a little sidestep dance and go, and then they let you in.
You just gave out the password.
Son of a bitch. Sorry. They got to change the password now to Hanging Tough. So we walk in, and at one point during the dance, or while they're rehearsing, I just kind of got into it. and I started dancing a little
well,
bit.
Well, you can dance.
I can
dance.
Little
man's got moves. Yep.
And Donnie Wahlberg, like, stopped the rehearsal and like, whoa, 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 there's a midget dancing over there. And, like, then so they all went and sat down and watched me and Adam dance together, which is the most intimidating thing in the world.
No, just because they have a choreographer and they've been dancing their whole lives?
Yes. And, like, the choreographer got mad at us because we stopped the rehearsal because they all wanted to sit and watch a dwarf dance. Because and that just shows you how awesome dwarves are. New Kids on the Block, seen it all, done it all. I start dancing, they're like, whoa, shut it down. This is something we have to experience.
Stop the show. Everybody grab a seat.
Exactly.
How long are they in town rehearsing, and how can Allie McKay meet them?
If you wouldn't mind.
Well, Allie. Now that you know the password, you can just go down. I have no idea how long they're going to be here for, but they did invite me to go on the New Kids on the Block cruise, and I'm absolutely going to go to that.
Oh, dear God, you should do that.
So insane.
You need to do that.
Fans are incredible.
Yeah,
you need to do that. You need to sing with them.
I'm going to hit on so many 42-year-old divorcees. It's going to be crazy. Let's
what do you
go.
Think? I know we're almost out of time here, Brad. But what do you, if you know them at all, and I know Adam does? What's their life like? Is it awesome being in New Kids on the Block? Do you think?
I just watched the rehearsal. I have no idea. I would think that it's pretty sweet, right? Like
you would always think, but then sometimes the behind the scenes is not so sweet.
Well. And they all seemed pretty happy, and they were all on Periscope together, and they were Periscoping each other. I don't even know what that means, but that's what they said.
Dirty.
And
you're on Periscope right now.
Yeah. Oh, I am? Yeah. Oh, hey, look. I'm on Periscope. Yeah. Sweet. And they seemed, like, really happy, and they – and listen, they're not Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC. That's not what happened to them. They're New Kids on the freaking Block, and they are awesome, and I will totally vouch for them now. That's great.
You are going to be on tour with New Kids on the Block at some point.
You're going to vouch for them because they watched you dance.
Yes.
So did we. We watched you dance.
Well, yeah, and I sometimes vouch for you. It happens. Well,
you are having an awesome week, Brad. I got to give you that.
Yeah.
It's very cool, sir.
So much
congratulations
fun.
On everything.
Thank you.
The Showtime Comedy Special is going to be amazing. It's going to be Brad Williams Fun Size on Friday night, May 8th at 10 on Showtime, and then, of course, this weekend at the Ice House Comedy Club with your good friend Adam Ray and newcomer Becky Robinson. Sounds like a great night, Friday and Saturday night. Just $20 at icehousecomedy.com. Brad, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, guys.
Ooh, I need it all.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey, Brenda Zola, you guys from Chino Hills.
Absolutely. Gorgonzola is my favorite cheese.
Brenda.
And there's a little place
Brenda,
in Chino Hills.
Brenda Zola is her name.
What happened?
She was listening to Kevin DeMeacher earlier this morning and won tickets to go see Mumford & Sons in row 2 for their show coming up in August at the Forum. By the way, tickets are going on sale tomorrow at 10. If you want to buy those tickets, you still have another chance to win them from us this morning between 9 and 10. More Mumford tickets coming up. Jim Rome joins us right after the top of the hour. Now Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
We're still playing a song?
It's not Adam Sandler.
What's happened?
George Ezra.
It's a very popular song.
Mm-hmm. Amongst Adam Sandler fans.
Perhaps.
I'm happy, Madison. I like to golf a lot. Mila Kunis steals chickens, and I think it's bad, and I think Mila Kunis should give her chicken back to this poor girl she stole a chicken from.
Wouldn't that chicken be long dead, though? Didn't tell us that she stole the chicken 20 years ago?
You know, the average life expectancy of a chicken is 47 years.
I did not realize
that. Are you just making that up?
Yes. This is the story. This is from a woman named Christina Caro, who claims that she and Mila Kunis were childhood friends back in the Ukraine, and that Mila would come to her family's chicken farm to play with her beloved pet chicken, Doggy. Her chicken was named Doggy. And Doggy went missing, and Mila Kunis stole it. And so now that she's back... No, she's not back, but now that she's living in Los Angeles, seeking out her own fame and fortune as a pop star... She has made this claim, saying that Mila Kunis stole her pet chicken, and now she's going to sue her for $5,000, and justice will be served.
$5,000.
Justice will be served, fried and crispy, with a side of mashed potatoes.
This just sounds bogus on every level.
Only because I think it's a complete lie.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's the only reason I would think
it's a fabrication. Oh, you don't even think the actual incident happened way back
then. Oh, I don't believe that for a moment. I don't even know if Mila Kunis knows this woman.
I would guess not.
She is from the Ukraine, but I think that may be where the truth stops and the fabrication starts. Because this Christina Caro is a, if you checked out her videos on YouTube, she is a, I guess attractive, it's hard to tell. Because she is slathered on this all this makeup and everything. She has that character that she sort of performs these songs in, a Borat-type character from the Ukraine who apparently wants to be a pop star and wants her green card and wants to live in America. That's what her songs are all about. And I'm assuming this is more performance art than it is real crime.
Yeah, it's a Borat character, but not funny.
Right. But on the upside, she has better cans than Borat.
That's true.
So she's got that going for her. Here's a little taste of her song, I Want a Green Card. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me Green Card. Which I believe was an ABBA song.
I think so.
Before she did the cover version of it. And then I Love America.
I love America. Do you? I love America. Do you? I love America. And I'm going to give you a green card to dance.
Give you a green card to dance.
Usually you have to go to a low-level gay nightclub to hear music like that. And it's nice that it's making its way to the Kevin and Bean show. Hell, if we can play Adam Sandler, we can play this music.
I hope Mila stole that chicken. I hope she did.
I'm sure she
did. I hope she did.
She seems like a chicken stealer to me. Anyway, that's happening. How is this my life?
I'm not sure.
Like being forced to care about that lady, you mean?
Going back to my original dream of starting a Badfinger cover band. That's where I'm going back to.
It's a good dream.
Worst Thumb.
Keep it alive.
Come see us.
Is that what it was going to be called?
That's what it was going to be called. Worst Thumb.
I like it.
You know, you may own that. I don't know that there are any other Badfinger tribute bands out there.
I don't think there are either. That's why.
I don't think you have to be that bad to be the worst.
I want to serve an underserved marketplace, which is the Badfinger fans who are waiting for me to unleash my inner Pete Ham.
Good reference. So do you wake up, Ralph, day after day hoping this dream comes true? Are you determined to make it happen no matter what?
Yes!
There's no way they could do this.
We're just amusing ourselves at this point.
Yeah.
Nothing?
You're not even amusing each other.
I get so baby blue when I think about the missed opportunities.
See what he did
there? Just carry on till tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow I'll start my band.
I'm going to take it back now. Don't even bother putting it in the file.
This is the worst kind of file jokes because it really is just for three people.
But at least you're keeping it going.
That's right.
Hey, way too long.
Hey, you know who's in trouble? The captain.
Mila Kunis?
The captain.
Oh.
Robbie Knievel.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the captain?
DUI. DUI. Oh, he was driving his GMC Yukon, of course he was, in Butte, Montana. Caused a four-car accident, then fled the scene.
Oh, no.
Police quickly caught up with him when he tried to jump over a canyon.
I don't think that's... I think you may have embellished that a bit.
Yeah, I did. He has three prior DUI convictions, by the way. So he's being charged with a felony with three misdemeanor counts of leaving the scene of an accident, operating a motor vehicle without an interlock device. I don't know what that means. And running a red light.
I think the interlock device is the thing that you're supposed to breathe into to be able to start your car. A lot of times in a DUI situation, they make you put one of those in the car. It sounds like he didn't have his on his.
He removed his. He could get $50,000 in fines and 11 years in jail if found guilty on all counts.
I have to tell you, I have no problem with a punishment like that on somebody who has a third DUI offense.
No.
I just don't. At some point, you just got to lock him up for the safety of the roads.
Yeah, this is... Kevin's right. He has three prior DUI convictions. This would be his fourth. If you're a serial drunk driver, you're a menace to society. This isn't a mistake. This isn't, I had one glass too many at dinner or whatever, and I just made a foolish choice. This guy is a loaded gun. He's pointing at people left and right. But
what service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
I think he was loaded that day during the interview. They're going to drum him right out of that core he's in.
whatever that corps is.
I didn't think he would have no answer to that question, yeah, because he calls himself the Captain.
He's
Robbie
the Captain,
Knievel.
Robbie Knievel. You know who his Lord and Savior is?
It was Jesus, wasn't it?
Yeah. Jesus.
Bet you want me to have that tape up.
Sure would like to have that piece of audio.
It wasn't Allie. He's hoping for Noof.
I bet it would make this a lot more entertaining if I could spell and find the clip.
Just makes me think of it because you played that clip. I figured it had to be right there at your fingertips. You had the rest of that piece of audio that we often play in concert. The two clips often go side by side when we talk about the Captain Robbie Knievel.
I would like to be able to have that for you as well. I do not.
Sure. I bet you can pull up the Hindenburg, though, you son of a bitch.
You know, stuff he doesn't need. All
oh, yeah. I'm sure we got Hindenburg reports.
Oh, here it is. I got it.
Hey, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior, man.
Yeah, that's
right.
That was worth the wait.
That was Robbie at the after party. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Moore is 61 years old today. George Lopez is 54. John Cena turns 38. Cal Penn is 38 as well, as is TV show host John Oliver. Jamie King's 36. Dev Patel is 25. And model Gigi Hadid. She's dating somebody famous these days. Who's she dating? Anybody remember?
Singer. Blonde. Young. Guy.
Sure?
He's young.
I thought it was an actor.
No, he's a...
Cody Simpson?
What? When did we start a special needs school in the room next door?
That's from the human Marnie in the other room.
Cody Simpson! Gigi Hadid is 20 years old today. Telling you, bad figure, trivia band. It's going to be huge. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursdays at this time, we always look forward to catching up with our friend Jim Rome, America's premier sportscaster. Yeah, I said it. You can hear him this morning at 9 o'clock on AM 980 The Beast right here in Los Angeles, KFWB, and look for Jim Rome on Showtime with new episodes airing every month. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir? What's going on? Check. What's on your head this morning?
Check is in the mail unless you want me to PayPal that cash to you for that intro.
Appreciate that. What are you into? What's exciting you? What's interesting you in the world of sports this week? It's so funny. I saw somebody talking about yesterday how here we have the NBA playoffs going on, the NHL playoffs going on. Baseball is up and running in its second week of the season. Yet all anybody was talking about yesterday was the NFL. Isn't it astonishing how that has become a 12-month-a-year sport?
Yeah, it's so funny. Back in the day, people used to always talk about baseball being our national pastime. Not at all, man. The NFL is king. It's always going to be better. I mean, the NFL out of season is better than any sport in season. But all of that said, if you want to know what I'm thinking about, I'm thinking local teams. I'm thinking about the Clippers melting down last night against San Antonio. It was all right there, up to 15 seconds to play. They had the basketball. They had their boot on their throat. If they finish the Spurs, they go up 2-0. That series is over because San Antonio is not going to beat them 4 out of 5, and they choked, fellas. That is a bad, bad thing.
Is that lack of experience, do you think, at that level?
Yes, a veteran team finishes that game. San Antonio would never lose a game like that. A veteran team wins that game. And, you know, they ran a winning race. They played pretty well. Blake Griffin played great. Why he decided to go mixtape and go hot sauce between his legs at that point in the game, I have no idea. But, man, if they blow that, if they come from ahead and they lose that series, he and they will never live that down. You got to kill that vampire while it's still alive.
You know, it's funny you say that about San Antonio because I feel like every single year we think, all right, but the Spurs, they're finally too old to compete, right? There's no way the Spurs come back and do it again. I mean, I remember last year when they won the finals, we were like, how are the Spurs still a team? How has their dynasty not passed? But for whatever reason, every year they get it done.
That's what I mean about them being a vampire. I mean, I've been throwing dirt on these guys for like 10 years and they just keep coming back. You can't kill them. But it seemed like they were in a good spot. The Clippers win the first game easily. They're up late in the second game. I mean, I can't stress this enough. As good as the Spurs are, they're not beating LA 4 times in 5 games.
Right.
And the Clippers, they may not live that down. I'm not saying that they're going to lose this series because of that. But if they do, you never get over that unless you win a ring. That's a bad deal. You have to finish.
You are absolutely right about that. All right, sad news for some local sports fans with that Clippers game last night. Very happy news, but not surprising news to see the Ducks sweep the Winnipeg Jets. How do you like this team for the long haul, Jim?
Actually, I was surprised. I expected them to win that series, but I like the Jets. I mean, that's a good team. I did not see the Ducks winning 4 in a row. I thought that'd be a 6-game series or a 7-game series. But you guys know how this goes. To me, the hardest thing in sports to do is win the Stanley Cup because you got to play every other night for about a month. And if you can save any energy along the way, that's a good thing. And that's a pretty hostile barn they went into. Did you check out that smack the Jets fans were running? They serenaded Ryan Getzlaff with chants of Captain Rogaine. Captain Rogaine. And they were calling Corey Perry Katy Perry. Premium smack, Jets fans. But, I mean, act like you've been there before, even though you haven't.
But by the way,
Captain Rogaine.
After the game, though, I thought it was pretty cool that they gave him pretty much a standing ovation. They were chanting, "Go Jets, go!" And this is after they were eliminated. That was kind of
because
cool.
You know, it's they love that team, and it's been a long, long time since they've been there, as evidenced by their Captain Rogaine smack.
Yeah.
No, but that was a neat thing. They love that team. They had that great whiteout going. Oh, by the way, nice try with that. That didn't work either. They love the team. They love the team. But class it up, man. Captain Rogan. So lame.
We had something that has never happened in the history of baseball happen last night. Jim, I'm sure you know what it is, but our listeners might not know that last night was the first time that the reigning Cy Young Award winner, the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw, went up against the reigning World Series MVP in Madison Bumgarner. And once again, it points out what a crappy deal it is to be a Dodgers fan in 2015, because 70% of the people who live in Southern California couldn't watch that game last night. No end in sight for that problem either, is there?
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. And anybody who tells you that that's not a problem is lying to your face. But by the way, how could something happen in baseball that's never happened before? They've played the game like 500 years.
That's true.
That could happen is pretty hard to believe. But you got to see your local team. You have to be able to see the team. I mean, if you can't see it, doesn't make it sound. Did they really play the game? So I don't buy any of the spin. If you don't get to see that, that's a huge issue. And you're right. I don't see that rectifying itself anytime soon.
Unbelievable that we're still dealing with this here in the second season in a row of no Dodgers games everywhere. All right, we brought up the NFL at the start, Jim. Two things real quick. First of all, do you have anything to add to what we've already heard people say about Tim Tebow to the Eagles? Is there anything there?
No.
Okay.
Just kidding. You know, the question is the guy going to make the team, right? Is he going to make the team? He can if Chip Kelly wants a quarterback who's inaccurate, can't read defenses, hasn't played in nearly 2 years, and a guy who a 14-year NFL vet, Jay Feely, told me was the single worst quarterback he's ever seen.
Whoa.
If none of that bothers Chip Kelly, then he can make the team.
Is Chip Kelly the kind of guy who will play him someplace else? Use him in a different role?
Yeah, I mean, if the guy wants to play football, he should play something else. I mean, another position. The guy's not a quarterback. Like I just said, he's not accurate. He can't read defenses. But Chip's a weird dude like that. Chip's the kind of guy who would make it about him and not Tebow. And he knows that nobody else could make it work with this guy for the last 2 years. I could see him bringing this guy in just to say, yeah, watch this. I can do it. But if you think this guy's going to be anything other than a gimmick, a two-point conversion specialist, a guy who steals a first down or two, then you're begging. No way is that guy starting quarterback or even a backup quarterback. No way.
But they do sell a lot of jerseys on him. At least they'll make some merchandising money with him as an Eagle,
always,
right?
For two weeks. Hey, look, man, he's one of the best guys ever. He's one of the best guys ever, and he'd be a great, great halfback, or fullback, I should say.
That's what I'm saying. Bean, get to your Russell Wilson question, because we're running
out
of time.
Last question. I know we're out of time. You had Russell Wilson on, my personal Lord and Savior, the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. How has he not committed suicide after the way the Super Bowl ended? You ask him what his mindset has been like in this offseason. Does he think about it every single day like we Seahawks fans do?
No, I don't think so. He's not like the 12th fan. This guy is really upbeat. This guy's really positive. I've never seen an athlete, I think, as committed to the mental game as he is. And the guy's constantly feeding himself with positive messages and positive imagery. You might be sweating this, and the fans might be sweating it. I think the guy's gotten beyond it. And whatever he's still holding on to is just fuel. He's using his motivation. So, no, he sounded like he's in a great spot. And this guy's going to bounce back. He will not be defined by that. It's not like he called that play. He'll be fine.
True.
He'll be fine.
He also was 5 seconds away from winning 2 Super Bowls in a row, though. So
You all were. He's a different cat, man. He is extremely positive. If anybody can deal with it, he can.
I'm shocked by his ability to do that, because he's only been in the league for 3 years.
3 years?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy that he's able to actually keep everything level like that.
I think that's what makes them so good. I think at that level, they're all physical freaks. They're all amazing athletes. It's the mental game that separates the good from the great and the great from the very best. I think mentally, he's as strong as any athlete you're ever going to see. So I think that he's compartmentalized that already, pushed it. He told the story about how he sits in a room, like mentally, he closes his eyes, he's got this giant red button on this table, and just smashes it, like reboot, reboot, reboot. So I think that's what he did with that play. He just reset the whole thing.
Fascinating.
Wait, what? For real? Wait, he does that for real?
For real.
No, in his mind.
Probably every. Probably. Yeah, no, no. He doesn't rent a room.
I don't know.
There's no real button on the
I'm
desk.
Trying to figure out if he's crazy or not.
No. They're all a little crazy. All right. They're all a little whack.
3 big hours of the Jim Rome
Show.
Wait,
you guys don't play that red button game? You guys never do that?
We've never actually played that game. No.
Apparently not. AM 980 The Beast this morning from 9 till noon. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime with new episodes airing every month. Great, great show. Jim, we always appreciate the time, sir. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next
Rose,
time.
Get a button. See ya.
We're going to talk to one of the finest young actors in America today. Oscar Isaac is going to be joining us. The movie is called, Kevin, once again,
Ex Machina.
There you go. Well done. I didn't want to try to say it. Anyway, he's also in the new Star Wars film. He's been in so many good things. Oscar Isaac joins us coming up in minutes. Dr. Drew later on this morning as well. Hey, Gene Simmons.
Good morning.
What? I didn't. Yep. See, you're not on the schedule, Gene.
I'd like to say that you, Kevin, are a very handsome and powerful man. Of course, Bean, I've known you for many years. We were actually in a band together. It's very nice to meet Ali and Chip, of course. Uh-huh. Both beautiful ladies.
Right.
Good morning, everybody. It's Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Why
are you here?
Well, I wanted to promote my new surprising project, I must admit. But Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, they threw me a rope, reached out to me. And speaking of throwing a rope, Ali, I'd like to throw a rope of my own right on your face,
okay,
if possible.
All right. We're not going to get into that at all here, Gene.
Wow.
This isn't hit on the female segment, okay?
I was simply saying I've learned to tie rather elegant knots in the Israeli Navy, and I'd like to show her my rope tying skills.
I'm sure that's
skills.
What you meant. Yeah.
I'd like to see that someday.
No, you would not. Nope. Okay. Yeah, don't encourage him, Ali.
Right,
no.
Warner Brothers Home Video and Home Entertainment, they reached out to Kiss and Gene Simmons of Kiss. I'm Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Right. Yes, you are.
You said that many times.
And they wanted us to provide some creative input. Speaking of creative inputs, Chip.
Wait a minute. We haven't even announced what we're talking about yet.
I will be working on a new Scooby-Doo film along with my brothers in Kiss. And we are going to be in a new Kiss-influenced Scooby-Doo animated film.
Okay. Now, when we heard the news earlier this week, this was happening, we had really just one question, and that is why? And then I guess our follow-up question to the one question was, who's the audience for Kiss and Scooby-Doo together on the same screen?
Well, as you know, the Kiss Army doesn't have any type of audience. They don't have any type of segment that we pander to. Everyone who has a heartbeat, everyone who has ears that work, loves Kiss, because we are the greatest rock and roll band in the world.
Okay, and you don't believe me, just ask you.
That's right. And if you're going to market Kiss to the people that it's for, if you're going to market to the demo is human beings. And some of those human beings happen to be little children. And I feel like we weren't doing enough in Kiss to reach out to our audience under 10 years old. And that's what we're trying to do with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, because the 10-year-olds love the hell out of Scooby-Doo, don't they?
It's true. And I wanted to give them a chance to kind of pull back the curtain on what it means to be in Kiss and be in Kiss in a thorough fashion. Speaking of pulling back the curtain,
nope.
Ali,
this is all very confusing because now I'm seeing that we have Scooby on the line.
Oh, fantastic!
What? Scooby-Doo is calling
actually,
in?
I actually made very good friends with Scooby.
You did?
Yes, he's a great, great man.
Hi, Gene.
Hello, Scooby. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
You know, not to give away too much, but they should really name him Scooby Goo because we had a long night one night.
Wow.
Yes, we were at the Hyatt Regency in West Hollywood. And
nope. I don't think we need to hear about
that,
Gene.
That's right.
Daphne. Okay.
That's right. Shaggy, Scooby, and I made Daphne airtight.
Come on. Why does it have to go there?
My joy, Scooby. You remember that?
Oh, there's Shaggy. Oh, how are you, Shaggy? And let me tell you, they're not talking about his hair head when they say Shaggy.
Come on.
You're so right, man.
What's happening?
Hey, Scooby, remember that night? Lipstick.
That's
I don't
right.
know what he just said, but he I don't
said,
like it.
He said lipstick.
He said lipstick. Man.
Yeah, he did.
Remember,
don't forget, Scooby's a great Dane.
He's a dog.
Yeah, he's and a dog, yes.
There's plenty about Scooby that's great. Let me tell you that. Yeah. Every inch of Scooby is great.
Okay,
and I just wanted to say this. I hope that everybody enjoys this beautiful animated film.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to God that the 8mm Bukkake film that we made with Metal Black Lemon and Phyllis Diller while we were on set.
Sorry, did you say Phyllis Diller
was
the part?
Phyllis Diller,
yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby, you were in that?
Meadowlark Lemon.
Globetrotters.
And we filmed it on 8mm at a hotel in Wichita. And I hope that it stays in Thailand where it belongs.
Can you guys just put that out instead?
It sounds like you are serious about your under 10 fans, doesn't it,
Gene? That's right. That's right. Well, that's clearly not for the under 10. That's for the adult group. But I'll tell you, Scooby, he's a real decorator.
Okay.
It's such a mystery, man, where it all comes from.
I think this might be a good time to just bid you all adieu and thank you for stopping by. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning. And don't forget, between 9 and 10, we've got your tickets to see Mumford and Sons at the Forum. We got your seats in the second row that you can win today. And one further announcement before we get to our guest. How about K-Rock Weenie Roast, May 16th? How about that? That was just announced yesterday. We'll have all the details for you about that show coming up Monday morning right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. I think what time? Around 7:15 or something?
I believe
like
so,
that.
Yeah, 7:15.
7:15 details on the 2015 K-Rock Weenie Roast. You won't want to miss it.
All right, we're going to talk to Oscar Isaac, who's still talking to someone in the other room.
All right. Oscar Isaac, terrific actor. He was in Sucker Punch, of course. He played, he was in Drive, you remember? Inside Llewellyn Davis was a phenomenal movie that he was in. One of my favorite movies of last year that he started into was called A Most Violent Year, that's on demand right now. And my God, is that a tremendous performance. Definitely check that out if you missed it. And he's got a movie that has been in limited release that is opening wide everywhere across these United States called Ex Machina. I can never say that name correctly. Can't wait for the movie. Still can't say the name. In theaters, go see it starting this weekend. Oscar Isaac joins us for the first time on The Kevin and Bean Show. Oscar, how are you, sir? Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with how you say the name of the movie.
You got it right. It's Ex Machina.
Now, is that, I feel stupid for asking, but is that Latin? Is that where that comes from?
No, yeah. It actually comes from the term Deus Ex Machina, which means God from the machine. So, yeah, it's a Latin.
See, that's something you smart people would know. Well, I am fascinated with this movie because I am fascinated with artificial intelligence. And one of the first things that I wanted to ask you is, do you think that this is just your writer-director, Alex Garland, who's just telling a fun story, a nice night at the cinema? Or do you think he's making some sort of broader statement about the trouble that we are about to get in when the robots become our overlords?
Well, I think it's all of that combined. I mean, I think what Alex Garland's done, I mean, he's such a great sci-fi writer. And now in the director's chair, he's really, I think, hit it out of the park. It's not only about artificial intelligence, you know, the idea of creating a machine that can really think for itself and is self-aware. I mean, we already have AI to a certain extent, Siri, and, you know, search engines that anticipate what we want. But and so it plays on that, the idea that if you're pushing that further, what happens once a machine starts to think for itself? You know, does it deserve the same rights that we have? So it's a bit about that and where that can go. But, you know, I feel like the movie's definitely on the side of the robot. It's a little bit more scary what our responses to that would be.
And the character that you play is the CEO of the company that created it, right?
Right. Well, the premise is that I'm the CEO that's the inventor of something called Blue Book, which is equivalent to Google, the most popular search engine in the world. And no one's seen this guy for years. He's a recluse up in his mountain facility in Alaska, and one of his employees wins a raffle to come spend a weekend with him and kind of get the golden ticket, the Willy Wonka. And then he shows up there, and he finds out that he's actually there to participate in an experiment, a test, to see if his robot that he's made in the shape of a beautiful girl is a sentient being, if it has self-awareness.
And by the way, this is what I love about dudes who are smart enough to create robots, is they create robots that look like Ava in your movie. God bless America, right?
Well, hey, man, you know, if he's up there all by himself, why look at RedTube? Just make one.
I guarantee you that's what Bean thought. The first thing he saw this is like, she's hot.
Well, I'm very much into robot sex, and it's so fascinating. But who is it? Thank you, Oscar. It's so fascinating.
I could talk.
Sure.
Wow.
Right? I hear you, brother. It's so amazing. Even when I started seeing the featurettes on this movie and started seeing the trailers and everything, I thought they did such an amazing job of making this beautiful actress, Alicia Vikander, is that her name? They did such an amazing job of making her look so pretty as a human, but obviously not a human. And I wonder, I mean, was that incredibly difficult for her to play this person who's just on the edge of being human?
Well, she's stunning because it's that uncanny valley thing, you know, that she almost has to play such a perfect human that no one can be that perfect, so it throws you off. And she has a ballet background, so she's got that discipline in her body
and minute little details and nuances that she infuses into the role. I really don't think there's been as interesting of a portrayal of a machine with artificial intelligence as Hal in 2001.
It does look great, and I love where you're at in your career, Oscar, where, I mean, you've made so many great movies at this point already that I imagine you have your pick of the thing that you want to do next. So even when I just saw that you had signed on for this movie, I thought this must be an exceptional script and an exceptional story because you're getting offered a lot of great stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's true. I mean, things have been going very well, and when I heard that Alex Garland was interested in this movie, I totally jumped at the chance. It was actually Sunshine. I don't know if you remember that movie, but he had written that film, Sunshine, and that was the first script that I read out of drama school, and it was my first audition, and I became obsessed with him as a writer, because he just knows how to use sci-fi to tell a bigger story about humanity. Because this, you know, one thing is about the robots, but really it's about consciousness and how you can never be sure that anyone else thinks or experiences existing the same way that you do. And it forces you to ask, you know, if you're going to build a machine that can think, basically a brain that's self-aware, you know, it forces you to ask questions about, you know, consciousness itself. Like, does it have a gender? Is there a female consciousness versus male consciousness? You know, does it need a body? How does sexuality play into it? You know, all these kind of questions that come up.
See, everything comes back to robot sex, you guys. Right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's where he's coming from.
Yeah, that's what the whole movie's about. Yeah.
All right, last question I have for you, Oscar. And again, the film is called Ex Machina, and it opens up wide everywhere tomorrow. Please go see this movie. I know I will. The last question I have, and you know it had to be a Star Wars question, and I want to ask you something that I asked Simon Pegg when we had him on recently, and that is, even though you're a professional actor and you've done lots of work in your career, is it still mind-blowing to be on the set of an actual Star Wars movie? Does it somehow not become movie-making and become magic for you?
A little bit.
It was a long question and a very short answer.
It was.
It was very exciting and completely surreal. And, it, you know, generally, whatever you do, you kind of have to compartmentalize all those feelings and pretend that no one's going to see it in order to do a good job acting. You know, you can't be self-conscious. It required a lot of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. You go back to the hotel and go, that is crazy. I'm in the middle of that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, because who does? What little kid doesn't grow up wanting to be an X-wing fighter pilot, and then all of a sudden, that's your job? I don't know how you get over something like that.
Yeah, no, you don't ever really do it. And honestly, when I went to a Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim a few days ago last week, that's when it again really hit me. Just the cultural impact of this story. It's like such a wild phenomenon. To be able to add to that is.
Absolutely. Well, I know that one doesn't come out until December, and I hope we get a chance to talk to you again before then, because we are big fans of yours, and we're very excited about this Ex Machina this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really enjoyed talking to you, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin DeVine Show. It is 8:55.
Thursday morning, Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
By the way, my Bad Finger tribute band already taken traction.
Is that right?
I'm not going to be here much longer. I just want to let you know, prepare yourselves, because in a little bit, apparently very soon, I will be leaving to follow my one true passion, which is to start a Badfinger cover band.
It's funny because you hadn't mentioned that until today.
Well, I'm not sharing my innermost desires and feelings with you,
but this
Kevin.
Is the first time.
Because I knew you'd probably poo-poo all over them, so I kept this a deep, dark secret for lo these many years.
I see.
And now I can finally say, in all honesty, my one true love has always been to start a Badfinger tribute band.
And what are you calling them again?
Worst Thumb.
Right. So you mentioned that an hour ago.
I mentioned it a mere hour ago.
And why is this taken off? What do you mean? Have you heard from other musicians who want to play with you in it?
And I've already got two other musicians who have volunteered to join my band.
Is one of them Chip?
One of them is Chip, K-Rock's own Chip.
Of course.
Who I'm guessing will be the Tommy to my Pete.
All right.
Those are the two lead guys in the band.
Thank you.
And then the third gentleman who's just volunteered, Noodles. From The Offspring.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
Is he going to play guitar in your Badfinger tribute band?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Wait a minute.
Boom. That just happened.
Wait.
I don't think it happened.
Noodles.
There's no way.
Chip?
Yep.
Did Noodles volunteer?
So Noodles, Chip, and Ralph are all in a band together.
So far.
This sounds like the setup of a joke.
That's the big three.
Wow.
And then, you know, we'll be adding members as we go along. But Noodles tweeted, I don't know, half an hour ago? You want to read that tweet?
K-Rock Chip, tell Ralph that I want in on worst thumb.
There you go. So, or he said, or is it spelled?
Or is it worst?
Worst thumb, W-U-R-S-T, right. With an umlaut over the U, which I think would be bitchin'.
That's
I
good. Like that. And yeah. Then you can have, like, sausage parties.
And then he hashtags it. What?
Wait, worst. What just happened?
Then he hashtags it, worst thumb. This is a thing.
It's
happening.
Such
it's a super group.
It's such a thing.
Are you going to be playing, like, the Forum this weekend?
Probably.
Is it happening that quickly?
That's what I'm guessing. Because you know all the trivia bands. Play the Forum.
That's true.
Weenie Roast is coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
Not supposed to give any details yet.
So, Ralph, so you have a drummer.
Worst thumb on Weenie Roast. Worst
thumb. You have a guitarist. You have a bassist. Who's going to sing?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
How many singing waiters do you know?
Okay, all right. So you're going to sing and drum.
Well, I might have to pawn the drumming off on someone else. I don't think I could do both.
I bet Grohl will do it.
I'm not Don Henley, for God's sake.
Muggs can drum.
Muggs can drum.
We went from Grohl to Muggs. Well, I'd say I got the bends from that going down to that depth.
I'm thinking right there. Might be busy.
Of course he's busy, but he has time for everything. He's the world's busiest man.
That's true.
He has time for everything.
That is true. All
he
of
has
that
time
is true.
For teenage time wasters. He's got time for Worst Thumb.
Yeah. I think Worst Thumb's got to happen, dude. I really do. I think it's time for the Come and Get It tour.
It'd be awesome.
It's all happening
no
so fast, man.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Come on.
The kids, I did not expect them to.
Kids love Badfinger.
Yeah. I didn't expect them to love
Badfinger. One thing we learned this morning, kids love Badfinger, Scooby-Doo, and Kiss. Those are the things we know for sure.
Kids are not very discerning.
By the way, we've been talking all morning about the Mila Kunis.
Yes. Why are you just writing? What's happening?
I'm writing a note to my bassist. we've been talking about Mila Kunis all morning about how she stole that chicken
right.
from that girl.
Right.
And
sounds bogus at best.
I thought so, too.
Okay.
Until I got this email from this guy. Where
What's
is that email?
Happening?
This doesn't sound sketchy at all.
Here it is. Joel Bloomberg writes in. Thank you, Joel. I thought the listeners should know that my uncle Boris has been the head of the Kiev police for the past 30 years.
What are the chances?
And has conclusive forensic evidence supporting the claim that Mila Kunis was indeed a serial chicken thief as a child and did steal Doggy the chicken.
Unbelievable.
The chicken's name was Doggy, by the way, because it was a pet and they called the chicken Doggy.
Right.
So, in fact, you should know, as your listeners should know, that Mila stole the chicken Doggy. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Yeah, Mila stole the chicken doggy. Yeah, Mila stole the chicken doggy. Boom! Yeah, Mila stole the chicken doggy. That's from Joel Bloomberg.
My goodness.
Here in Los Angeles.
Noodles just retweeted. He's out.
No, he did not. Noodles is in. It's Noodles, Grohl, Chip, me.
You're just assuming Grohl, though,
I'm
right?
Making some phone calls overseas. There's got to be a few surviving members of the band who would like to tap into the
Well, most of that band committed suicide, you'll recall, Ralph.
Two of them did, yes. But
that's a lot
guys.
In one band.
This other guy, you don't know what they went through, man. The story of Badfinger is just a tragic Greek, a tale of Greek tragic, just level of tragic Greekness.
I don't understand any of that.
But Worst Thumb, man, is going to make it all better.
We're going to reclaim the Badfinger legacy. We're going to bring them back to their prominence in popular music where they should be. Too many people have forgotten the magic that is Badfinger.
Sure. I wish you well. I want it to happen.
W-U-R-S-T. That's funny.
That's that Noodles. That's why he's in the band, because he's a creative genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is director Michael Moore, 61 years old today. Actor George Lopez turns 54. John Cena, 38 years old. Actor Cal Penn, also 38 years old. John Oliver, 38 years old as well. Jamie King, the lovely model and actress, is 36. Dev Patel turns 25. And Gigi Hadid, model and new face of Maybelline, 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We've got Mumford & Sons tickets for you to win in the second row for their show coming up in August at the Forum. Don't forget, tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 for those. You can get the details at KROQ.com, and you can win second row seats this hour. I'm very excited about this. I don't know if it's going to be a WWE-style cage match or how they're going to handle this battle of the TV doctors, but my money is all up on Dr. Drew. I got to tell you that. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Well, I'm just in a different weight class.
Ah. So
Dr. Oz has been in the news a lot lately, and I know that I'm not linking you guys in any other way except that you're both very popular celebrity doctors, but do you know Dr. Oz at all, Dr. Drew?
Very well. I know before anybody else knew him. I know for many, many, many years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, he was, for somebody who doesn't know, he first appeared on the Oprah show and then got a spinoff show after that, and he's been very, very popular for a number of years. He's got a huge social media following. He's on television all the time. But lately, others in the medical profession have started to raise their hands and go, hey, wait a minute, I'm not sure I endorse a lot of the stuff that he's talking about. Could you kind of bring us up to speed with what the controversy is about, Doc?
Well, this whole thing gets a little complicated, but right now the reason it's in the news is a group of physicians, I think from Stanford, if I remember right, or at least maybe University of Washington, sort of out here in the West, mm-hmm. signed basically a petition saying that they don't think he should be on the faculty. They sent this to the Columbia University president and said that he should lose his faculty position, and I believe he's chairman of the Department of Cardiothoracic Surgery. And what people don't know really about Oz is he is not a general practitioner. He's not a mental health guy. He's not a nutrition guy. He's a cardiothoracic surgeon. He really kind of sits at the top of the heap of most surgeons. I mean, maybe trauma surgeons like Dr. Moe are in that same category. But not only is he a cardiothoracic surgeon, but he's the chairman of the department, or has been at times. He's an important teacher. He's an important member of their faculty. He is bringing up the next generation of surgeons and has done so for many, many years. I've known him for a long time. He's an exceptionally good doctor, an exceptionally good surgeon. What he does on television is really completely unrelated to what he does as a surgeon. So that's one issue.
Okay.
The other is what he does a lot of is sort of stepping over the line a bit with his enthusiasm about fad diets and fad supplements. And I would take issue with that, too, because he's really never practiced primary care medicine. He doesn't know how hard it is. I mean, he's a vegan, and he's an enthusiast about good diet, and that's all great. But he's never really gone through with an individual how tough it is to change their diet and to lose weight. And this is really hard. This is why people don't change. It's hard. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. You can't say, oh, take this green coffee, and everything will be great. When you get into that kind of hyperbole, it gets a little... You know, it's what's in the news, too, about diets. If people go up, they go down, they can't lose, they get frustrated. It's not helping the health of the population necessarily. So perhaps those aren't the best recommendations. They certainly aren't destructive. They certainly aren't sinister. And, of course, they're always aimed towards encouraging people to eat more, eat less, and exercise more, and be healthy. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with it. But because he gets overly enthusiastic and sort of says things that maybe aren't really substantiated in the medical literature, they're taking aim. Now, you guys know, I don't know, guys, if you know how television works, but television, you know, they sit you down, you read a prompter, and you go, wait a minute, I can't say that. They read the prompter. You know, he may be blinking at times and saying things he doesn't really mean. So there may be he's doing television, after all. He's not doing surgery. He's doing
right,
television.
But he's on TV, and it looks like he's, you know, co-signing some of these products as if they're great products, and that's come into...
Well, he actually does believe this.
He does.
Here's where it starts to get even more complicated. So he has really no clinical experience with these things. He doesn't really read that literature. He has whenever I go to do the Oz show, I have to argue with this team of medical students that he has there who read the literature for him. And medical students can't, this is going to sound weird, but they can't really interpret literature. They see articles that sound great, and they go, oh my God, this is the next greatest thing. But because they haven't seen these things clinically, they haven't read the literature for years, they don't have any judgment about how to interpret what they're reading, and they feed it to him, and they go, this is it, this is it, this is the next headline, talk about it quick, it's going to be great. The producers get excited about it, it ends up on the prompter, and it ends up on TV. Now, the other issue is that a couple of these guys that signed the petition trying to get him off faculty, not off TV, but off faculty, turns out one of the things that he's very vocal about is genetically modified food, please labeling their products. He just thinks they should label it, just even to sort of keep an informed public, just in case there's something about or people don't want to use genetically modified food. Well, a couple of these guys are on the board of directors of a genetically modified food organization. So they may be motivated to get him his reputation taken down a notch because of how vocal he is about GMOs.
Interesting. Now, the flip side of that, my question for you then, Dr. Drew, is do you think there's any financial incentive for Dr. Oz to endorse some of the products that
no.
he endorses?
No, I've talked to him about that. He gets zero out of that. He's just doing television.
He's wasting his time then. He should be getting paid.
He could join right? you guys. He'd make a fortune.
Right. So, Doc, there's added pressure on you as a physician that people automatically trust to believe everything that comes out of your mouth. Have you run into a lot of situations like this where you've kind of you've been taken to task for seemingly to endorse something on television that maybe you didn't personally believe in?
I always try to say exactly what I mean, but it's so weird being a physician on television because on one hand, people want to take you to task all the time. They don't want to believe anything you say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On the other, you're held to a people say exactly what you said, with that you understand everyone believes everything you say, and I don't think that's true necessarily. But it is a really difficult line to walk, and here's the deal. These guys that want him taken off faculty don't understand what television is and don't understand he's just doing television. He's doing a pretty damn good job of it.
Okay, but Dr. Drew, it's just doing television, but he's also giving his opinion on some of these products that might be shaky.
It might be shaky, aren't going to hurt anybody, might motivate them to diet, might make them focus on their health. I mean, listen, I understand what you're saying, and I believe it's an arguable point for sure. But to take this guy, to take somebody who's a great teacher and remove him from faculty, we need all the teachers we can get that are teaching medical students right now. So if you were deciding,
if they came to you and you were king, you would say he's fine to keep doing what he's doing on TV and he's fine to keep doing what he's doing over here on staff.
I would strongly urge him to think about what he's doing on television, to pay attention more, to really be circumspect about what the medical students are handing him, to take, don't let the producers bully you. And to say things that really clearly have, and maybe always, always consult with somebody that has proper credentials to be able to make these statements. But it starts to really reduce the things you can talk about because there's not a lot of stuff that has, reached scientific scrutiny except, hey, everybody, eat less, move more, start to watch your case. It's very boring. What really is interesting, what really works for diet and exercise.
In a cage match, though, you kick his ass, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you would, too.
Yeah, I think our money's on you.
Yeah, good.
All right, before we go, Drew, I want to mention one more thing, and that is your HLN show, 6 o'clock Monday through Thursday night, is going to get a little bit of a makeover starting tomorrow. You are going to be performing your show, taping it in front of a live audience. I've seen you tweeting about this a little bit, inviting people to come down and see the show. Tell me more about that.
It's just that we took over Larry King's old studio. We built an audience in there, and they sort of challenged me to change my show, and I said, look, I'm used to doing stuff from an audience. Let's do that. We did a pilot. It really worked. We've done one already. Mr. Mike Catherwood's going to be more of a regular part of that particular program with the audience, and we start up tomorrow, and if you'd like to be a part of it, you can go to, I believe it's HLNTV/Dr. Drew, and there are tickets there.
Fantastic. Sounds great. We'll see you tonight on the TV and tonight on Loveline as well. Thanks so much for the time, Doc. We'll do it next week.
You got it.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Ralph, I've been looking forward to the Showbiz Beat for the last 45 minutes or so to find out who else has joined the supergroup that you're putting together.
as of yet, Worst Thumb is still just me, Chip, Noodles from The Offspring, and probably Dave Grohl. We don't have full confirmation yet on Dave Grohl.
Do you have
Grohl,
any confirmation on? Did you get a probably from him?
No.
Okay.
I'll find out over the weekend.
But Dave doesn't turn much down.
No, he does seem to show up wherever he's asked to. Seems to just show up and help out.
He was playing.
I got to be honest. Chip may be in danger.
What? Oh, wow.
Chip may be in
already?
Danger.
You here for some other bases?
I just got a little nibble from Pat Smear. That's all.
Well, sorry, Chip.
You have two guitarists.
That's true. He can play guitar, right? Doesn't have to play bass. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe Pat Smear, too. Maybe Pat will come in.
He saved your job right there.
See, that's why she's clever. She's small, but she's wily. Yeah, worst thumb. Looking forward to it. A lot of people demanding.
No one's demanding anything.
For Acoustic Christmas. No,
Weenie Roast?
Weenie Roast?
Yeah, really?
A lot of people demanding Worst Thumb show up on Weenie Roast.
Did you put out a feeler to McCartney?
I did not put out a feeler out to McCartney.
No. Because he wrote and produced for Badfinger. It seems like he might be interested in kind of keeping their legacy alive, I think.
That's true.
Ralph's expecting him to, hear about it and then
it's true.
Come to Ralph.
Now that I thought, see, timing's everything. I did, and I'm not kidding, I did. I ran across Danny Harrison over the weekend.
For reals?
Yeah.
Which is
George Harrison's son.
George's son.
Okay.
Yeah. And had I known this was that I had this kind of momentum going for a worse sum.
You didn't have this kind of momentum.
I could have tapped in because his dad, George, was very close with Badfinger. Mm-hmm. So it all came full circle.
It's all coming together, man.
It's going to happen. It's just a matter of how and how we're going to present it and where we're going to perform.
But as of right now, Noodles is the only actual musical performer, right?
What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm saying that
Chip.
Do you forget that
is a bassist
Chip was in a band?
Par excellence.
I'm saying a professional
We don't have
musician.
A drummer yet, but worst case scenario.
Muggs,
you're right. But I'm saying all the pieces are in place.
Right. Sounds good. Can't wait.
It's all happening so fast, I'm afraid you guys are going to break up before noon.
Well, with Chip involved, that's always a possibility.
She's the band killer.
She is the band killer. So,
as of right now, you're on the side stage at Weenie Roast. Are you going to make it to the main stage by 10 a.m.? Are you going to be featured at the end of...
I'm guessing...
Okay.
What, 19 minutes?
Yeah.
Within 19 minutes, we'll be featured. Yes.
I'm very excited.
The business line's ringing, man.
Sure. Is it? The business line ringing? I knew it would be.
Allie, can you play any musical instruments?
Yeah, do you play anything?
Yeah, I play the piano, so I'd love to do a synthesizer or something like that.
Do you really play keyboards?
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Are you any good?
Why does it sound
not
like
great.
She's mocking?
Not
I
great?
Mean, I play everything by ear, and sometimes I don't hear well.
She's not good.
So,
but you're serviceable as a pianist.
I am serviceable to bands. That is right.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah.
Can we get her a hearing aid so she can play a little better? Because she has a hard time hearing sometimes.
You know, I'm standing by if you need a theremin player. I'm ready to jump
in.
Yes.
We might. Because, you know, that big theremin solo from Baby Blue. We might need to recreate that. A lot of people are asking who's Badfinger, by the way.
Yeah, of course they are, Ralph.
Get a lot
of starting
points for the
conversation.
Get a lot of those questions. Badfinger was a very popular, white-hot British band in the early 1970s. They were the first band signed.
1972 and a half, and that's it.
By the Beatles album, record label Apple Records. They were the first band signed to that label. And they were very popular, very white hot in the 70s. Then they ran into some legal hassles that caused the band to stop recording and then eventually...
Was Chip involved with that as well?
How dare you!
The two leaders of the band took their own lives, tragically, in the mid-70s. But their legacy lives on. You may remember the song Baby Blue from the finale of Breaking Bad.
That's right.
I don't remember that song.
That song had a revitalization of popularity there because of that. And I've been a fan for a long time. And as I told you this morning, a long-standing dream of mine was to always have a Badfinger cover band.
That's never been a dream of yours.
Yeah, it's long-standing.
It just never has been.
Spider-Man's going back to his graphic roots. This is kind of exciting news. Spider-Man, of course, is going to be appearing in the next Captain America movie, now that Sony and Marvel have sort of come together and agreed to share the character. But Sony also announced that they're going to do an animated Spider-Man movie for 2018. The guys who did the Lego movie, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, are combining their talents to bring a new animated feature film featuring Spider-Man for Sony. They just announced it yesterday.
So. I remember when you announced the Lego movie, we were like, oh,
that's a terrible idea.
Remember?
It was a bunch of toys are going to be running around. What the hell?
Yep.
And then it became one of the greatest animated films ever. Yeah. But I still think the Play-Doh movie is going to blow. Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Marvel and superheroes, Robert Downey Jr. had an uncomfortable, cringeworthy interview with a dude out of England by the name of Krishnan Gurumurthy. He works for Channel 4 in the UK. And while he was supposed to be talking about Avengers Age of Ultron, he took it to a place from a 2008 New York Times interview about liberal versus conservative and being in prison. And then he went to his relationship with his father and his drug and alcohol use. And it became very awkward very quickly. If you watch the video online, it's really uncomfortable. Here's how this guy kicks things off.
The statement sort of stands by itself, doesn't it? I mean, does that mean you're not a liberal, or that you came out of prison not being a liberal?
Are we promoting a movie?
He seems very confused.
Yeah.
And then he gets into it with the drugs and his relationship with his father. I think that's really what turned Downey off.
You've talked in other interviews again about your relationship with your father and the role of all of that in, you know, the dark periods you entered and taking drugs and drinking and all of that. And I just wondered whether, you know, you think you're free of all of that or whether that's still something...
I'm sorry, I really don't... what are we doing?
Well, I'm just asking questions, that's all.
Right. I mean.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Are you... Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you? You seem okay. It's just getting a little Diane Sawyer.
No, look, I don't want to do that.
Thank you.
You seem okay. It's getting a little Diane Sawyer-y in here, he said. God, I love Robert Downey Jr. So he walked out on an interview. It was really sort of.
I like that guy going, oh, what? I'm just asking.
I was just trying to make you really uncomfortable. Why are you leaving? Why don't you stay here and let me make you more uncomfortable?
I'm just trying to make a name for myself rather than help you promote your movie.
Right. Or even ask you questions that are really relevant. Good times. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Moore is 61 years old today. Actor George Lopez turns 54. John Cena. You know him. The wrestler.
Sure. He's the Marine.
He is the Marine. And as we mentioned earlier today, he's still, I believe, the record holder for the most wishes fulfilled for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Kids who want to meet their idol John Cena, he has done the most of that, which is something to be celebrated. Cal Penn is 38 years old. John Oliver, also 38. Jamie King celebrates her 36th birthday. Actor Dev Patel turns 25. And model Gigi Hadid. She is the voice of Maybelline these days. And dating Cody Simpson, apparently. That's what we learned earlier in the show.
All right.
Cody Simpson! We're from Dave, remember? She is 20 years old today. Oh, just think, one more year she can have a drink.
That is good news for
her. You know, those supermodels, they usually wait till they're 21 before they indulge.
That's true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning is Friday. We got the movie beat. We also have Brett Morgan in the studio. He is the director of Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck. We have Courtney Coxon talking about her movie that she direct called Just Before I Go. And we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage and tickets in the first row to see Mumford & Sons. We'll see you tomorrow.